This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic Friday Flashback.
Why don't you do a nostalgia corner about Caddyshack?
Yes.
Or Animal House.
Something that has mass appeal.
Or something about Mary.
Yeah.
Or something. Why do you have to go back to the Marx Brothers and Gloria Swanson and people that are not only worm, they're long since been worm food. It's all dust now. Their skeletons
are dust. Well, the beautiful thing about the Nostalgia Corner is that there are no limits. And my
We're setting limits on it.
Okay, Oscar, shut the f*** up.
Yes. Passion.
Jesus.
That's right, though. We're giving you parameters.
Yeah, but the thing about it is
don't
that
color outside the lines.
Who gives you positive feedback on Nostalgia Corner?
Yeah.
When you do one like the Marx Brothers or because I read them. I read there's some nice comments online.
I don't have any.
You don't read your press?
No, I don't.
I don't pay attention. I don't pay attention to the comments.
Jack.
I don't pay attention to movie magazines because they're all junk.
Nothing jumps out really, but I'll say this. My interests are varied. Incredibly. I mean, I like modern stuff. I do. But I do also like older stuff. So I can do newer stuff, too, and it's just as entertaining for me. Don't talk!
Newer stuff.
Don't. No. This is between me and Mike right now, and you are like nails on a chalkboard.
Too?
Okay, go ahead. This is going to be good. It'll be worth it. Go ahead.
What is nostalgia to you? Like, what are we talking about? 70 years? 100 years?
Nostalgia is me thinking back to the great times before I knew you.
I'm down for that. That's what, 2004?
No, I would say nostalgia.
Let's bring those back.
No, I would say nostalgia would be defined by me as bringing back something that doesn't exist anymore in a fond
memory. How long will your nostalgia corner
Today's probably 8 or 9, 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Let's do it right now.
Right now?
Let's do it right now.
All right,
yes,
can you make
it
5?
I can if you want.
No, this is fine. This is the, I'm ready for it.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made. And I've seen the movie, and it is a good movie. After giving him that hard time, ladies and gentlemen, I now present Rob Spiewak's, and I'll give you one Sunset Boulevard for one relatively modern history comedy.
All right. You know what? I know what I'll do. I will do next week. I will do the Blues Brothers because it's one of our favorite movies.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
No. No. Because the Blues Brothers is not that good a movie.
Hack.
It was a trendy movie. I'm talking about great classic comedies. All right.
All right.
Something About Mary, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack it is. Caddyshack
Animal
it is.
House.
I think Caddyshack
Arthur.
Has got. Caddyshack has probably got the best backstory.
The Replacements.
Right.
The one with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman.
Very good. Blues Brothers. Right. Immediately right. Goes with his narrow little world.
One of the greatest musicals ever made.
It was not. The Blues Brothers.
The music in the Blues Brothers? Are you kidding?
Oh, come on. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, all right. But
wow.
Anywho.
This is going to land well, I feel.
All right, go ahead. I'm ready for
First, the thing
Boulevard.
You need to know about before we talk about Sunset Boulevard, which came out in 1950, it's an example of a genre called film noir. Film noir sort of was birthed in the early 40s, and it had certain characteristics. The easiest way to think about it is a hard-boiled, like, detective movie, like a Maltese Falcon.
Very lit with lots of shadows.
Exactly.
And things like
and
that.
And the thematics of film noir are predestination, like persons in the movie you already know at the beginning.
Is this music from Sunset Boulevard?
This is the overture from Sunset Boulevard, yeah.
Like okay. Avengers. You already know the characters in the Avengers.
In a way.
Yes.
Yeah, you understand that. There's always a femme fatale, some evil woman that is going to have to do with the undoing of the man. There's also a lot of mirrors and reflections showing the dual sides of man. And that's not only done with mirrors,
like
but
in Two-Face and Batman.
Like with water. Do you never notice in an old movie the streets are always wet? Like at night?
Yeah, that makes the streets look better on the camera, right?
Well, what it does is also shows reflections of light, which is another theme of film noir, and also just plain evil people. Now, when the movie Sunset Boulevard starts, it's not a spoiler alert, the lead character is floating dead in a swimming pool. So okay. You already know at the beginning of the movie that he's going to meet a bad ending,
like
right?
Phil Hartman. Sadly enough.
Well, a little bit. More yes. Like Mrs. Shatner.
Gotcha.
I don't know that Phil Hartman had a pool involved. But anyhow, he starts with the voiceover. So he narrates the movie
Mama
about
his
own death. And he tells a story about a failed, it's talking about himself, he's a failed screenwriter who has to try to keep his car because they're going to repossess his car. So he is actually out trying to sell a script. The repossession men, the repo guys, see him and chase him. So he pulls off the road on Sunset Boulevard into what he thinks is an abandoned house.
Ooh.
And he hides the car. And right. That way, he'll get to keep it, right?
Unrealistic already, because that's pricey property. Why would there be an abandoned house on that boulevard?
Well, the house looks abandoned. And this is also, remember, 1950. Hollywood was sort of going through a transition.
Got it.
You
got
see?
It. I get it.
And so he pulls in there, and he's immediately mistaken as an undertaker. Because this crazy old lady wants to bury a chimp. She's got a dead monkey. And she brings him
monkey.
And this is, you see, and there are elements of dark comedy here because it's funny, you know, she's talking about the funeral for the monkey and the color that she wants for the coffin and all of this stuff. So he comes in and he finally reveals to her, he says, I'm not an undertaker, I'm a screenwriter. And then he recognizes the crazy lady.
Wait a minute, haven't I seen you before? I know your face.
Get out, or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
Uh-huh. I knew there was something wrong.
They're dead. They're finished. There was a time in this business when they had the eyes of the whole wide world. But that wasn't good enough for them. Oh, no. They had to have the ears of the world, too. So they opened their big mouths, and out came talk.
That's where the popcorn business comes in. You buy yourself a bag and plug up your ears.
The thing about it is the overacting that you hear there actually works in this motion picture because she's nuts. And the whole movie is her unraveling and thinking she's going to make her big Hollywood comeback. She hires him to work on a script that she's working on.
Is she mad that she used to be a silent film star and now that there's...
Talkies.
Audio?
Yeah. That's what makes her mad.
That's so weird.
And so... Another neat thing, this is a movie of Hollywood looking at itself. It's one of the first movies to actually do...
Was she a mute and she couldn't talk?
No, she could talk, but there was a time about 1927 when a lot of Hollywood stars just sort of went away because they couldn't act and talk. They weren't. That's not how they were trained.
What about going from black and white to color? Did that affect Hollywood that way?
Not as much, but this movie was purposely shot in black and white, although Paramount wanted to do it in color to make it a bigger movie.
What about 1080 to 4K?
I don't know that affected Hollywood as much
someone's pockmarks.
As television, right?
Yeah,
it's more of a television thing. So this is Hollywood looking at itself. There are people in here that actually play themselves that are Hollywood greats. Hedda Hopper, the most important advice columnist.
Hopper,
the most important gossip columnist of the time. Even Cecil B. DeMille plays himself in this movie. So she goes on and on. And what happens is she hires William Holden. And Mike, you'll remember William Holden from Network. He's great in that movie as well, but he's young in this movie, and he also people might remember.
He was also in the Bridge on the River Kwai,
and Stalag 17, and he had a great role on I Love Lucy playing himself. He's a very funny guy, and he's good in this movie. She hires him to be like a script doctor,
and he's a young buck at this point.
Oh, definitely a leading man type, but what he doesn't
like Ryan Reynolds leading
real noted alcoholic and heavy smoker. Too.
Oh, and also there was a Hollywood motto back then was call Bill Holden for hookers. He was also quite a...
Oh, really? He knew how to do that?
Yeah, he was quite the Lothario. But she was seduced...
What's a Lothario? What's the dictionary definition?
I think it's a type of watch.
No, it's a lover, sort of a guy who could get things done.
Oh, like Pete Davidson.
Well, I mean, but then why would you... A lover and getting guys is not a guy that would go out and get hookers.
Well, he was connected in that way. I think he was noted as a... perhaps Lothario was misused. I withdraw the
remark. I'll look it up. Go ahead.
All right,
keep going.
So there was a lot of... action between the two of them as he's rewriting the script. He's really using her for money. He's getting paid to rewrite her script, but she's falling in love with him.
Oh.
And there's like date nights, and it's very creepy and very, it makes you very uneasy. And every night, they actually watch a movie, a silent movie, in her living room, which is another chance to hear her do this great overacting.
Still wonderful, isn't it? And no dialogue. We didn't need dialogue. We had faces. There just aren't any faces like that anymore. Maybe one, Garbo. Those idiots.
She's talking about herself.
Yes.
Those imbeciles. Haven't they got any eyes? Have they forgotten what a star looks like? I'll show them. I'll be up there again, so help me.
Now, as you know, the dating doesn't go
Lothario
well.
Lothario is a man who behaves selfishly and irresponsibly in his sexual relationships with women.
Mm.
So I guess it could be part
of it. Yeah, it could be used. Yeah, absolutely.
Also known as a Smith.
So I like to think of this as the ultimate Hollywood film because it celebrates Hollywood while simultaneously showing how it destroys itself because of her vanity and all of this stuff. It hung around. It was nominated for 11 Academy Awards. It ended up winning 4. It is very highly rated. The Library of Congress has preserved it. The thing about it is that it has remained sort of in the national consciousness as recently, and let me get the date right, in 1993, they did a Broadway adaptation of it in London with Glenn Close playing Norma Desmond, and it ran for 190.
Perfect casting for the modern Norma Desmond.
I think it ran for like 193 performances. It was a hit.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great film. It leaves you feeling unsettled. It leaves you feeling uneasy. If you're a person who loves classic movies, it has a modern feeling while showing old Hollywood. And Oscar, you actually toured Paramount Studios, right?
Yes.
Great behind-the-scenes stuff at Paramount where you see the gate and the motion picture studios. And as I said, Cecil B. DeMille, one of the great directors of all time, we did the Ten Commandments, plays himself, but the ending of the movie is killer, and it is
this
creepy.
Is Sunset Boulevard, yeah, that Rob is talking about.
So
you got to go back to that occasionally and say, yeah, we're talking about Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
You're assuming everybody knows what you know, but they don't.
Okay.
So got to remind people, here's a movie you need to watch, and I can back Rob up on this. This is an entertaining film. It's an entertaining black and white movie.
1950 is when it was made, and this last
9 years before I was born. I'm 62.
This is like the modern, I mean, this is an earlier version of Boogie Nights when they went from film to videotape.
You know, actually, that is the first valid thing you've said during the entire conversation.
No, it's not. You're lying.
But the ending where, and you already know that Joe Gillis is dead. I'll spare you how she died.
Who's Joe Gillis?
The guy, the lead character that was in the pool. Remember, the movie opens with
it. That part I don't remember. Okay. I just remember that it's William Holden.
It's like CSI. You see the crime before, and then they show us.
It's William Holden and
Gloria Swanson. So William Holden is the one who's found dead in the pool in the first scene of the movie.
Is CSI film noir?
There are aspects of it you could say, but not really.
Okay. Is Gloria Swanson older than Greta Garbo?
Yes, but she's not that old in this movie. I think she was only like 50 in this movie, which is weird.
I get, is this normal? I get Gloria Swanson and Greta Garbo confused.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Right,
that's
good.
Very common.
Right.
So at the end.
What about Hunts and Heinz ketchup?
The only way to get.
What Rob and I, a lot of people don't realize, Rob and I just took a really brief respite. It's actually right after the layoff. And Rob and I went over to Munich where we had a wonderful show. We were known as a comedy team of Hunts and Heinz.
And it was great. All the music and beer
we did
halls.
All the stuff we normally did. You know, we did but we did it with those accents too. You know, what a great day it is, Hunts.
I want to ask you, Heinz, what if Charlie was running the tank?
It would be a disaster.
Good night.
It would be a total disaster, Hans.
Good night.
Auf Wiedersehen. Good night.
So the final scene, the lead character, Norma Desmond, is played by Gloria Swanson, has totally lost her mind. The only way to get her to leave her house is
She's a little scary. There's a horror element to this old, like 1920s mansion she lives in, and it's dark, and it's shadowy,
and it's
scary.
There's a famous film writer named Richard Corliss, who described Sunset Boulevard as the ultimate Hollywood horror film.
Yes.
Because it really is. There are horrific things. So the only way they can get her to leave the house, press corps is there because there's been a horrible murder.
To tell her that something special is happening for her,
That she's going to shoot her last close-up. They have to let her think she's making a movie.
Mr. DeMille, do you mind if I say a few words? Thank you. I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio making a picture again. You don't know how much I've missed all of you. And I promise you I'll never desert you again. Because after Salome, we'll make another picture and another picture. You see, this is my life. It always will be.
There's nothing else. Just us. And the cameras. And those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
And that creepiness is how Sunset Boulevard ends.
Who killed the person in the pool?
Well, you know what? I won't even say spoiler alert because the movie is 71 years old. Gloria Swanson shot him.
Him to death.
Yeah, because it was Gloria Swanson shot William Holden because he spurned her advances. There's another romantic subplot that she finds out about that I left out in the interest of time.
Oh, she murders William Holden.
And she shoots him.
Now I get it with that. One criticism with the film, and of course it's all the films of that era.
Yeah.
Overbearing soundtrack.
Yeah.
Score.
Yeah, Franz Waxman.
Bearing.
Yeah.
Not necessary with a...
Although I will say this, there is one effective device they use soundtrack-wise is the house, you talked about the creepy house, is almost a character in the movie because it is so big and so large and such a part of the story. There's a pipe organ. And when the wind blows, they set this up early on, when the wind blows, the pipe organ makes eerie sounds. Mm-hmm. So they have actual eerie sounds that are lightly in the background made by the organ that are actually built into...
We have a clip.
Really...
I have that pipe organ. Yeah, let me play a clip of it. Sorry.
Miss Swanson.
Miss Swanson, what a great sound. What do you have to say to that, William Holden?
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
I think we brought that in under 10.
I look, like it always is, I always give you a hard time about it. Then I get a little sucked in. Mm-hmm. Your brother doesn't. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
He was especially helpful today, though.
Right. I understand.
Did you ever feel like you were watching a TV and you had the primary audio and the secondary audio on at the same time? That's kind of how that felt.
Yeah. And now I routinely watch everything I watch, which is disturbing me a little bit, with subtitles.
Julia
does
that.
Which is really starting to freak me. Yeah, I mean, I because...
Why do you do it?
Because modern Hollywood is the land of mumbles.
Uh-huh.
It's the land of mumbles. The younger the actor, the more they mumble. That's the way it goes.
I actually disagree. Because Rob is right. The technology that we currently have, even if you have a sound bar, if you don't tune your sound bar correctly, you're going to get a lot of imperceptible speech. When I was in Los Angeles, they have that whole setup, and the kids watch TV with the subtitles on, because the televisions that are now built, unless you have one of those $5,000 Sony XBRs, whatever they're called,
right,
where the speakers are behind the screen and they're coming out at you,
sure,
the speakers are shooting down. Towards the wall.
Mine do.
I have the speakers shooting down.
And it is nuts.
When we were younger, think about the TVs we had. Even the
speaker
square
was up front.
Sometimes a panel, side of the TVs were set.
And you would go over to change it, and you'd change the channel, and your father would say, "Not so fast, you'll strip it."
Yeah.
This house came with a phenomenal sound set. However, I have on my little remote for it the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do drama, sports,
cinema.
But they're four or five, and then you have concert hall.
A lot of low end.
Oh, by the way, I got in trouble yesterday because I flipped on Monsters Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where Billy Bob is taking a trip. Let me see how do I phrase this? It's after their first initial, which that's loud, and I understand that.
Yeah.
It's when Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry. Billy is introducing Halle to the ways of cunning magic.
I understand. Mm.
And she's reacting very loudly to this.
Isn't it funny how a really well-recognized piece of art, something that was embraced by critics and public alone,
right,
that when you can turn on to one moment and it ruins it for you? Make me feel good.
Maybe you could you chop up the that scene and just the Halle Berry parts? Where she says, "Make me feel." For the show. I'd love one or two of those. I think it would be fun.
What happened?
I got yelled at because, you know, I believe the comment from Carla was, "We have a child in the house."
Was it and like full surround sound in your?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm deaf. Yeah. And I have it. It's blaring out. So
did you have like, subtitles that said "make me what? Feel I mean, good"?
Yeah. It wasn't that scene. It was after that. There are two pretty heavy duty sex scenes with Halle Berry. Yeah. Which is a very weird movie, very dark.
Well, it's weird, again, movie. Like the time, what was that series that was so hot about
why,
6 months ago?
Why
about
are
them?
You looking over your shoulder?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. There was
all right.
The movie, it was a TV. A
lot of activity.
A streaming series about 6 months ago where the guy actually defecated in the suitcase at the hotel. What was that show called?
White Lotus. And, the White Lotus,
and
yeah.
That was the one scene. Carrie had been streaming it all day. I came into the room and I knew that one scene. And
that's
I said,
so nasty.
What are you watching?
That is so nasty. That 20 years ago, that never would have been allowed in a movie at all, and now you see it on a regular cable show.
They did it on in Sunset
streaming show.
They
rather.
Did it on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
Oh,
Gloria
Swanson.
Oh my God.
But the
no
luggage,
more odor than a hot biscuit.
Mike, the luggage was beautiful. It was a steamer trunk.
It was fantastic.
TMOS Classic.
Here, this holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home. Because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. The Mike O'Meara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We are. That was a very long birthday segment.
It was.
I know there are certain segments of the listening public that doesn't care for that.
Well, it's a
and
public
I'm,
service.
I'm here to say screw off.
I thought it was a delightful one.
I'm a public. That was fun. Like to hear Rob do what he did,
right.
To hear you do what you did, and to Tommy was great.
To hear you do what you do,
I
Oscar.
Did nothing.
To hear Pony do, nearly do
I
something.
I was doing my taxes.
To hear you do one of the two that you do is
I wish I did more.
Is really
I try terrific. Them.
Yes,
I try them at home in the bathroom.
What did you try at home?
Oh no, it's embarrassing.
No, try. What would be one? Maybe if you don't do it, at least tell us what you were motivated to try.
I tried Garrison Keillor.
Oh, okay.
Of all people,
let's hear Garrison
Keillor. No, I can't. I'm not a mimic.
It's Oscar St. Taylor, broadcasting from Wisconsin Avenue.
You know what? When he does that, it sounds like we should put a tap on the phone line.
It has to be a little bit audible.
Yeah.
You have to hear a little bit of it. You know, I do it all the time. And sometimes it drives Carla nuts. I've been doing one the last couple of weeks. You know the one that I'm obsessed with.
Francis Underwood.
No, McGonaghy.
Oh, that one too, yeah.
All right, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah, sorry. And I do the True Detective, Matthew McConaughey, and he's almost inaudible.
Okay.
So what you're saying, she said he found a lady out in the woods, antlers on her head. All right, all right, all right.
Now, Mike,
lady out in the woods.
It's been years.
I'm going to drink this. I'm going to drink this whiskey. I'm going to drink Jameson's whiskey. That's what he drinks.
Does it really?
Yes. Hello, Rob.
It's been years since Mike has done the
how's
impression. Kelly? She's good.
All right.
She's
Shannon?
A big fan.
She's great.
Hey, Mike, how's Carla?
How's who?
Carla.
Carla.
How are you? All right, all right, all right.
It has been so long, Mike, since you've done the impression.
I keep getting older.
Camp.
Girls stay the same age.
Do you think you could put together a crash course for Oscar to at least get him started on voices? I mean, start something easy like Ed Sullivan or Jimmy Stewart.
When you are doing Garrison Keillor, he attempts to be soft-spoken,
mm-hmm.
and he has the face of a pug dog.
He does.
So his nose is smashed into his face. So the first thing I do is I crinkle my nose down. So it's like I close off the airway.
I've never noticed that. You actually move your nose when you do it.
You actually move the nose down.
I don't know if I can do that.
Hold it, but we're on to another voice there. Do that voice a little more.
Let's hear that one. Because he might have stumbled into Kermit the Frog.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can do that.
It's Kermit after the stroke, Kermit.
I don't think it's Kermit.
I don't know what it is. You don't. Now, I'm going to tell you that I don't think you're making a legitimate
effort. I am.
Yeah, I don't think
how do you even close a nasal passage?
You know, when you do impressions, Oscar, it's always interesting.
I don't know how you would decide to do that.
But you're doing two things at once.
Yeah.
What you want to do, I'm speaking the way I normally speak. I just close off the nasal passages. So, for example, give me something to say, Robin. I'll repeat it by closing off my nasal passage.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
See?
Now, that's it. Now, I don't. That's not the full impression because
these
I also.
These are the best biscuits.
No, you can't hold your nose.
Close both nose.
Can he do it by
and
pinching?
And then do a lower voice, do a lower register, and kind of whisper it and say, these are the best biscuits
these
I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
That's really not going to work.
I'll just stick to my spreadsheets.
How low can you make your voice go?
Well, hello there, little lady.
That's Mrs. Bear's Biscuits. We're going to bring Diana Krall up here with the ukulele playing.
Do you think with his low register you could walk him through John Wayne?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like you to talk amongst yourselves, and then I'm going to read the agenda for the Prairie Home Companion.
Okay. Oh, please.
I want to really see what...
Are there any impressions you'd love to be able to do, since you've mastered me and the Gingerbread Man?
Oh, God. I used to do Marvin the Martian.
Well, you see, that's almost that Kermit
voice. Is Marvin the Martian
again.
The Warner Brothers?
Yeah. Yes. You know,
we're going to go this way.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Do you think you can call back on that?
What is it? He used to say something about his planet.
Well, the UP-38 space modulator, I think, is one of his quotes.
The UP?
No.
No, try it. Go with it. Run.
You know what? I hate you, Rob.
No. We're going to make this work.
This is horrible.
No, it's great.
No, it's horrible.
I've never been more entertained.
I can do... Who else could I do? I can't do anybody.
Do you do any people from your foreign land?
No, I don't do anything.
Like Don Francisco?
Don Fred Sabado Gigante!
See, that's good!
No.
Live
that
from the Fitzgerald
work.
Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I stink.
The very home companion of news from Lake Wobegon. I want to see some of the stuff he has. I'd like to do, because you know, the one thing about doing anything like this, and I've done this since I was a kid,
yeah.
And I was really hired, the first time I was hired at a major market station, was to do impressions.
Voices.
That's what I was hired for. So you always want to have better material. You always want to have new, the voice is the voice, but you always want to have more stuff.
Subject matter.
Sometimes when you get bogged down with that, like you want to make it so authentic that you're delivering the exact lines, mm-hmm. that will kind of destroy the thing. And what you want to do is you want to just make it silly. And that's what I've always tried to do. If I get too hung up with doing the lines, but at the same time, if you've really got the voice down like a James Gandolfini and you can say the whole tray,
yeah,
you know, you can, you get a line that he's used for them Sopranos, that's fun too.
Yeah.
So it's weird, but I'm always thinking about it.
My favorite for you is when you would say you're doing Garrison Keillor and you would do four sentences, absolute straight and accurate, and then the fifth sentence, that's the curveball that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, for example, I don't know the biscuits that they sell.
No.
I don't know the biscuits.
I remember the motto is, heavens, they're tasty.
Heavens, they're tasty.
heavens, they're tasty. Ma Vagina's biscuits.
His
see,
writing.
That's where it's not Ma Vagina's.
His writing
biscuits.
Is fine, but to listen to him on the radio, and I've tried, it's painful because of the way Mike, you know, Mike illustrates it with the no.
Well, because he does it so well.
With the nasal blockage, it's no good.
Yeah, it's powder milk biscuits. There they go. I don't know what they are.
Heavens, they're tasty.
Yes, they're tasty.
I'll say this. I can try, but it's funny because Shannon will catch me sometimes. She'll be like, just let Mike do them. And I said, no, I don't want to do them on the radio. I want to see how he does them. I'm fascinated by it. And then I'll say, look, if you're going to do handstands, just do handstands. Don't show the whole world.
Well, it's fun, though. I think everybody likes your impressions. I think you
can. No, they're horrific.
Oscar's impression is brought to you by Brother Andrew's Anal Biscuit.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.